You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, Hoops heads. Welcome to Locked On Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. It's Tuesday, February 13th. I'm your host, Aliko Carter. I totally had a case of the Mondays yesterday. Was just feeling sluggish. I wouldn't even say under the weather, just like, you know, Monday. I was feeling Monday. But the Warriors showed up. They weren't feeling Monday. They were feeling Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They were feeling all the days. They were making shots. They played the best wire-to-wire defensive game that I've seen in this new year. And it resulted in a 40-plus point victory. I mean, granted, you're playing the Suns, you're playing the depleted Suns, but they really came through. And Steve Kerr, you know, deserves a lot of credit for this because he allowed them to coach themselves. And just all day, he allowed them to coach the shoot-around in the morning and all the way through. Obviously, he was the one calling timeouts. He was the one, you know, dealing with momentum shifts and things like that. But then once he was done, he passed the clipboard over to Draymond or Andre or whomever, and they made stuff happen. And that in and of itself shows the innovator that Kerr is. He doesn't get a lot of credit. Well, he gets plenty of credit here in the Bay Area, of course, but he doesn't get a lot of credit nationally for being one of the best coaches in the league. Because he has so much talent. And, you know, how can you be a great coach when you've got Curry, Draymond, Klay, and then Kevin Durant? You know, you've got two of the top five players in the league and then another two of the top 10 or 20 players in the league. You should be winning. He should be winning. And, of course, his team leads the Western Conference and the NBA right now and has for the last 4 years. But that takes balls to allow your team to coach itself. It takes balls. It takes a faith in what your team is able to do. It takes great dialogue. It takes trust, mutual trust between the coaching staff and the team. And outside of Kerr or, say, Greg Popovich, can you think of any player or, coach who would, you know, try to do this? Maybe Eric Spoelstra? Maybe. But the level of trust and innovation there, I mean, you have to go back to the 60s to see when the players, and 70s to see when players coached themselves on a regular basis. And Steve Kerr did this in 2018 when coaches want control and when they are especially prone to becoming personalities in and of themselves. And that's not what Steve Kerr wants. Steve Kerr doesn't want to overshadow the team. And he said, basically, I wasn't getting through to them. I was getting tired of my own voice. He was getting tired of his own voice. So that's something that's very cool to see, and it paid dividends, you know, against a bad team, a Suns team, and Steve Kerr apologized. But, you know, we'll get into that. We're also going to get into our Warrior of the Week, who I will reveal in the second segment. And then we're going to go around the NBA. And I want to look at the Houston Rockets and how they're playing. They had a win streak that is continuing, and they are right behind the Warriors in that second spot and in the second spot overall in the league. So I want to take a look at them and see what kind of threat they could be after the All-Star break. But before that, I want to let you know about my online media. You can find my media on Forbes.com. I've also been featured on BleacherReport.com. I've got a number of stories in the works surrounding the All-Star break, and I will keep you posted on everything that I have in store. You can get this podcast on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, iOS, and LockedOnWarriors.com. Make sure you bookmark that page. You can get in contact with me at LockedOnDubs on Twitter or Kogitare, K-O-G-I-T-A-R-E. I tweet from both accounts. You can also email me at AlikoCarter11@gmail.com. That's AlikoCarter11@gmail. And I look forward to hearing from you. Now that that's over, back to the game. I want to start with the Suns, and I want to start with Elfrid Payton, who seems to have taken his new surroundings right to heart and has seen a confidence boost because of the move. And, you know, it's really tough when you're in a bad organization, especially for your first few years. Stephen Curry was in a bad organization for his first few years. I mean, let's be honest, until the team was bought by Joe Lacob, it was not going anywhere, and the best they could do was draft Stephen Curry. I mean, you know, Don Nelson was out, you know, out of it most of the time, and Larry Riley was a middling but not great GM, and obviously Chris Cohen was a horrible owner for a very long time, more than a decade, and Alfred had to deal with kind of a similar situation. They couldn't attract marquee talent. They couldn't, in Orlando, they couldn't put up more than 30 wins a year. You know, they got, I mean, their biggest guy that they got, they traded for, was Ibaka, who no longer plays with the team. It's been the dark ages there since Dwight Howard left, and obviously, you know, Dwight Howard is not exactly the guy you want to build your team around these days, so it's not like him leaving really changed the situation. You know, he was on his way out when he was on his way out. You know, I think they jettisoned him at the exact right time. But Peyton showed us everything he had to offer from the opening tip, making his first 8 shots. And, you know, he was in and out of the restricted area and the key. He made a couple of 3-pointers and was just very good on the offensive end, that is. Defensively, the whole team stank. But basic box score numbers, Elfrid Payton was 11 of 18 and 2 of 4 from 3, 5 of 7 from the line. He was attacking the basket just from every angle and had some ticky-tack fouls, some 3-point plays. 8 big rebounds, 2 offensive, and 5 assists to go with 4 turnovers for 29 points. He was minus 22 on the night, but was very good. I mean, you know, when you're a minus 22 and your team loses by 46, it could be worse. It could be much worse. And he took 18 shots. Josh Jackson and TJ Warren took 18 shots. They couldn't get anything to fall. 6 of 18 for Warren. 4 of 18 for Josh Jackson. Warren's a veteran, but Josh Jackson is a young player. And Josh Gray, another young player, 2 of 11. And the Warriors defense really just homed in on everyone who wasn't Peyton. And I can't say that they really had a game plan for Peyton except to let him do what he wanted. But they did try to guard him. And the defense was so good elsewhere that it didn't really matter. Really looking forward to seeing Peyton play next to Devin Brooks. Going to be an exciting 1-2 tandem in the backcourt in the desert. For the Warriors, I want to highlight Omri Caspi, 19 and 10, and a plus 28 on the night. I also want to highlight Nick Young, 16 points, a plus 34 for him, and great minutes, especially in the fourth quarter when they only allowed the Phoenix Suns to score 12 points, 30 to 12 fourth quarter, to get that big, big deficit up to 46 points. And that was mostly garbage guys. It was guys who are used to playing garbage time minutes, and this was the best garbage time that we've seen in basically for this whole bench unit. It's the best extended period of garbage time that I've seen. You know, the defense was absolutely on fire in the fourth quarter. They forced the Suns into 4 of 22 shooting and 0 of 7 from 3. 0 of 7. They put up an over from the 3-point line, and that doesn't happen very often against this new look, porous defense Warriors. 9 total rebounds in the quarter, only 1 assist. The defense was suffocating. And the Warriors blocked 4 shots, including 3 blocks by David West. As a team, they shot 59% in the quarter. Heavy minutes from Kevon Looney, David West, Nick Young, Sean Livingston, and Omri Caspi. Omri Caspi had 11 points, 18 points on the night, and was 4 of 5 from the field, including a 3-pointer. We saw an Omri Caspi 3-pointer. He hasn't made a 3-pointer since December. That was big, because the Warriors weren't able to get Joe Johnson or Marco Bellinelli off of waivers. There's still some question as to how they'll be able to improve, and maybe they'll just improve through continuity. Maybe Omri Caspi will start shooting 3-pointers. Maybe they'll create movement in the offense for him to end up at the 3-point line open instead of cutting to the basket. or slipping screens. No Draymond last night. It didn't matter. Kevin Durant was superb. Stephen Curry was sublime. And Klay Thompson was sharp. Everyone did their job. So now the Warriors have a streak. It's a 3-game winning streak. And they get to take that win streak into Portland on Thursday. Last game before the All-Star break. Should be a good one. Now, if you'll allow us this break for our sponsors. And we're back. It's time for Warrior of the Week. I wanted to do Omri Caspi. He had such a great game last night. 18 points, 10 rebounds, a big fourth quarter, defense, running, shooting three-pointers. He did everything. And it was exciting to see because he hasn't been making a difference. He hasn't really been getting minutes. But even in the minutes he has been playing, which have been short spot minutes, he hasn't been playing Caspi basketball. Casketball, if you will. We saw a little bit of everything that he can do, but he's not my Warrior of the Week. Patrick McCaw is my Warrior of the Week because Patrick McCaw had a fantastic five-game stretch where I believe he played Golden State Warriors, Santa Cruz Warriors, Dubs, C-Dubs, Dubs. And he followed up some pretty epic C-Dub's performances with a great performance in last night's game against the Suns, so he gets the nod as my Warrior of the Week, and we're going to get into his numbers a little bit. So I want to call this guy Iron Man because he literally played 5 days in a row. Literally 5 days in a row. The 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th. On the 8th, he was with GSW in that win over Dallas, and he had a good game, you know, 1 of 4 from the field, 13 minutes. Played some good defense and was a plus 6 on the night. He then went down to Santa Cruz for the next game on the 9th. That's Friday. That was against the Texas Legends. They didn't win that game. They lost it 105-99. But Patrick was 9 of 19 from the field, 2 of 5 from 3. He had 8 rebounds, 3 assists, only 2 turnovers, and 2 steals. So he had 22 points in that night. Was a minus 5, which was basically the difference in the game. He played 32 minutes, so he played starters minutes. And he put himself out there, taking 5 three-pointers, putting up 19 shots, being the guy. Then on the 10th on that Saturday, that was that ABC game against. And he had a quiet night, a very quiet night. In almost 14 minutes, he only took 1 shot and was a plus 1 on the night. The Warriors did, of course, win that game. And, you know, he contributed, obviously, defensively. You can't see that from the box score. But he wasn't particularly effective in that game. And maybe it just took one more game down there at the G League to get him going. And this one was a winner. The Santa Cruz Warriors beat the South Bay Lakers 131-127 and rose to 19-17 on the season. They scored 40 points in the third quarter. But Pat wasn't a huge part of that. Only 2 of 11 from the field, plus 5 on the night, 6 points. Terrence Jones, big night, 31 points. Quinn Cook, huge night, 14 of 20 from the field, 41 points. But Pat needed this PT. He played 26 minutes, and it clearly prepared him for being able to take on NBA-level talent again. McCaw only played 7:45 in this game, but he was a plus 7 in those minutes. And took 2 three-pointers, making 1, 4-6 from the field in 7 minutes. And 9 points in 7-plus minutes is great, great, great production. He also had a rebound and an assist. No turnovers. So he's playing within himself. He's still playing very good defense, trying to move his feet as best he can, his young feet. But he's getting better and better. Short minutes, but an individual defensive rating of 91, individual offensive rating of 141. So he contributed clearly on both ends of the floor in short minutes. And this is what you want to see from him is contributing in short minutes. And when he's with those bench heavy units, taking control. Because he really can do everything. He can handle the rock. He's got vision with the ball in his hands. He doesn't turn the ball over or make silly mistakes, until he does. But it's not something that he's known for. And he's able to shoot the lights out when he's got his confidence and he's got a little bit of space. But you can even see this year, he's putting his shot up faster than he used to. So if he can continue to speed up that release, and, you know, he's already a much better shooter than Andre, he can be a poor man's Iguodala in no time. And that's great because Andre is set to make $16 million next year and $17.2 million in 2019-2020. That's a lot of money for a guy who's going to be on far the wrong end of 30. He'll be 35 by the end of this contract. And he's not giving the same level of play that he has given in the past. You know, can you imagine him locking down LeBron in a playoff series right now? I don't really see it happening. That was definitely 2 years ago, Andre, not today, Andre. Could be a situation where Patrick McCaw signs an offer sheet, the Warriors match it, and then try to remove Andre from the books to open up that space. But I don't want to speculate on the offseason too much. What I do want to do is talk to you about sponsoring the Locked On Warriors podcast, because you have nothing to lose. Locked On Warriors is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 and 44. If that's your company's target demographic, definitely get in contact with me via email at alicocarter11@gmail.com, and I'll get back to you with all the details. Our rates are super reasonable, and we link our sponsors with a connected male audience. So if that's what you're looking for, get at me. Before we touch on the Houston Rockets and their threat to the Warriors' supremacy in the West, I want to talk about a specific situation because Derrick Rose is available. And I had a reader, a listener, basically say, you know, considering our success with players, this is Reed Gorey, by the way, got in contact with me, considering our success with players that have been written off, and since he just got waived and is jobless, what if we sent one of our boys down to the D League and grabbed up Derrick Rose? You know, that's an interesting thought, because we rehabilitated McGee's career. Livingston was already on the up before we acquired him. But there's a lot of guys we're paying who aren't really getting the job done. Nick Young, Omri Caspi, who've been up and down. And, you know, if you're going to have an up and down player getting the veteran's minimum, why not have that up and down player provide what D. Rose provides? Last year, scoring 18 points a game and a former MVP to throw out there. You know, so that's an interesting consideration, considering the waiver period has created, you know, there's a dearth of great talent out there. Obviously, Joe Johnson might still be available if the Rockets can't create a roster spot for him, but they're probably going to. Derrick Rose. I mean, I could see him fitting in. But what exactly does he bring to the table that we don't already have? He isn't a fantastic shooter, though he does knock down three-point shots. And what else does he bring that we need him to do? Slashing? But I think it's the intangibles more than anything. You bring in a guy like Derrick Rose because he's intangibly brilliant with the basketball. So give me your thoughts. Let me know what you think. Hit me up on Twitter at Koji Tare or at alicocarter11@gmail.com on email and let me know. Would Derrick Rose make sense to bring to the Golden State Warriors? Now we're going to talk about the Houston Rockets, because the Rockets are on an 8-game win streak and are a half a game behind the Warriors. And so schedule-wise, we're tied. 13 losses in the loss column, because the Warriors have lost 3 games in the same span that the Rockets have not lost at all. It's been a pretty quiet stretch for them. They played the Denver Nuggets, good team, walloped them. Played the Cavaliers, good team, walloped them. Played the Spurs, another good team, and they won 102-91. But other than that, Suns, Magic, Nets, they won at the Heat, that's a good team, and then they beat the Dallas Mavericks. So they're playing their schedule. They're playing who's in front of them. And tonight they play the Minnesota Timberwolves at Minnesota. That could be, we could pencil in an L there, but it's tough to say. They still have a very, very, very good win percentage when they play Chris Paul, James Harden, and Clint Capella together. I believe they've only lost one game when all three of those guys play. What does that mean for the Warriors exactly? It means you have to game plan for Chris Paul, James Harden, and Clint Capella. That's what it means. And the Warriors won't be playing the Houston Rockets again this season. So it's going to have to be a playoff game plan. And they're going to have to play the schedule that's in front of them too. And so we'll see who goes into the All-Star break with the lead. The Warriors and the Rockets will have played the same amount of games, so there's a potential for a tie going into the All-Star break. If the Warriors lose their game and the Rockets lose one of two, or if the Warriors win their game against the Blazers and the Rockets win both of their games coming up against the Wolves and the Kings. So this is really, really fun, right? This is super fun. But at the same time, you got to look at the Warriors and say, thank God they're finally starting to play Warriors basketball again, because it was getting really scary. Not sky is falling scary, but like what is going on with this team scary. If we play like this in the playoffs, we're not going to make it past the conference finals scary. Obviously, the team's mentality in May and June is going to be completely different than it is in February. They're about to get a much-needed break. And, you know, it's going to help refresh their brains as well as their bodies. Same goes for the Houston Rockets, though, who could be going into the All-Star break on a 10-game winning streak. James Harden's still the front-runner for MVP. Their confidence has got to be at an all-time high right now. And the Warriors are going to have to counter that through the rest of their schedule. This is where I have to cut it off today. Make sure you check in tomorrow. We'll be doing our statistical deep dive. I'll be previewing the game against the Portland Trail Blazers, and I might get into some of the projects I'm working on for Forbes.com. So stay tuned for that show, and stay thoughtful, Hoopsheads.